certainly thank the Panucci's for coming from Groton, Connecticut. Of course, remember, they're no farther from home than we are. It's the same distance up there. And Brother Joe is going to give us some reminders. The topic is Trust in the Grace of God. His title is Good Advice. Trust in the Grace of God. Brother Joe.
Well, dear brethren, Lucy and I, we are very happy to be here with you in this convention. I may call this convention the A to Z convention. I'll tell you why. Because we begin the new year with the Phoenix, Arizona convention, and we end the convention with the all year. The friends in New London, Groton, Westerly, they all wish to be remembered to you. Usually, throughout the world, as December 31st merge into January the 1st, we know that there are millions of lips wishing one another Happy New Year. And we also know that mankind can stand a little more happiness in view of the turmoils and the problem which they face every day. And we know that the genuine joy has been a scarce commodity with every generation. For the consecrated Christians, their lives is one of a continued rejoicing. Not because we have no hardship, no trials, no disappointment, but because of our faith and trust in the Lord's grace. He makes all things to work together for our good. In this conference, we have found a peace and joy. We will have a happy 1968. 1988. Boy, I tell you, you're on the ball. Not because we prosper in the material ways, but because we have learned that the blessings of the Lord make us rich. No matter what the circumstances of our life may be, we know that they are under divine supervision, always for our best spiritual progress. We are happy not because the Lord has shielded us from trials and provide us with a carefree life, but regardless of what our experience may be, His overruling providence will cause them to be of a benefit to us. As Paul indicates in 2 Corinthians 4:17, 18, our affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As we enter the new year, there are some questions which all of us do well to ask ourselves. And December being the last year of the year, it offers an opportunity to take a spiritual inventory, to determine how well we are prospering in the spiritual life, how successful we have been in our vow of consecration and also service to the Lord. The sentiment of a consecrated life is well expressed by David in the Psalm 63:3, when he said, "Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." For David, God's loving kindness was more precious than life, and he would sacrifice his life praising God. And this should be the attitude of every Christian. We may sometimes think of praising God as it is something is to do. Something that can be done without cost to ourselves. It is true that we should be so filled with thanksgiving and joy for all that the knowledge of the Lord has meant to us. Yes, our heart overflows with praise concerning Him and His loving kindness. On the other hand, we will see that is as we continue to show forth His praise of our loving God, it will cost us something. It may cost us friends, reputation, time, strength. Not all, even life itself. Only if you're willing to pay such a price for the privilege of praising God, we can say that His loving kindness is better than life. We know that every step of the way in our Christian life, the Lord has been good to us. We have the rich blessings of having our beloved Master on our side. To Moses, the Lord giver of Israel, Jehovah says, "My presence shall go with thee. I will make all my goodness pass before thee." It was thus that Moses could see the glory of the Lord and realize the fact of His presence. And so it is with us. We cannot see God in the literal sense, but with the eyes of faith we can discern Him in all the many ways He caused His goodness to pass before us. But we needed the instruction of the Lord's words in order to see the Lord's goodness in all the experiences with which He permits to come to our lives. The Lord says to Moses, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." The hint He is given that the Lord's ways may not always coincide with our judgment of what may be right and what may be wrong. Therefore, we need to keep close to His words and to trust Him with all our hearts, even though we do not understand the meaning of the circumstances with which our life are so vitally concerned. The prophet Job saw in his severe experience the goodness of God, as his faith and integrity were being tried. We know that very few of the Lord's people have been called upon to endure such a great hardship as the Lord's permitted to come to Job. The Lord did not explain to Job why he was being severely tried. Nor do we always understand the meaning of our trials, which disturbs our hearts. But he stood firm. He said, O the Lord, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job referenced when he said, Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. In backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left, on the right, I cannot see him. What he was doing, he was making a carefully analyzing all of his circumstances of his life in an effort to fathom the meaning of the calamity which came upon him. What made it more difficult for him was the fact that he knew in his heart that he did not willfully sin against God. But even though he could not see God in what was happened to him, he had faith to believe that God's presence was with him, and believe it that there was some very wise reason for his suffering. And this is true with the Lord's people. What seemed dark today and difficult today may be a clear and understood tomorrow. Happy are we if we can learn to trust the Lord in the difficult times of a trial that the Lord in his wisdom permits to come our way. And like Job, be able to say, Lord, I cannot understand the why I suffer. But he knows. And when he tried me, I shall come forth as a gold. We must remember that God's presence also with us, even when we do not see some evidence of his goodness. Perhaps through illness or the circumstances which we have no control. Our body may be full of pain physically and mentally. For while perhaps the Lord permits us to be surrounded by darkness, so like Job, we look everywhere, but we cannot find him. It is in such experience that our faith needs to be strong and lay hold upon God's promises. Realizing that if for a moment we cannot see him, he understands and he is sympathetic with all our hearts throb. And his presence, as his presence was with us to share our joy, he is also now with us in our sorrow. To you and I, he has revealed a purpose, which is that in us, the image of the Master may be developed. In preparation, for the blessed privilege of a reigner with him in his kingdom glory. Throughout the endless ages of eternity, faith and trust in the grace of God are essential, because with our limited comprehension of our short sight viewpoint, it is almost impossible to understand just how this or that experience, whether of joy or sorrow, may be the best for us. If we were the masters of our own destiny, in each day that we walk in the Christian life, perhaps we would change lots of things. But in doing so, we would create circumstances and conditions which, without any question, would be detrimental to ourselves as a new creature in Christ. How essential then it is to develop a complete confidence and trust in the grace of God in the Heavenly Father's care, to learn that His way is the best. And if sometime it's not pleasant to the flesh, His wisdom and love for us knows that which will be the very best for us in our consecrated life. Running away from the trials, my dear brethren, is not the answer. We must meet them in good faith. Job did not run away, but with patience and trust faced the terrible experience that the Lord permitted to come to him. It is by faith that we are able to say that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. With this conviction in our hearts, we can be in the violent storm and yet not lose confidence and trust in the Lord. We can have the inner tranquility regardless of the storm of a life. True, sometimes we feel very discouraged, but it is to meet those experiences that every one of us may sometimes pray, "Lord, increase my faith." The example of Job should help us to understand that the trying experience of our life are for the purpose of consuming the dross, in order that the gold of our carrot may be refined. Yes, our faith must be tested. It is the shield of the Christian armor. Our loyalty to the Lord must be put to the test in order to show the fullness of our consecration. Consecration to God does not mean the end of our problems. Nevertheless, it does mean that we endeavor to solve life's problem in God's way, and conscious of the fact that we are in tune with God, no longer alien or rebellious, we enjoy a peace and tranquility of heart and mind. And regardless of the outcome of the whole event, politically or religiously, we rest in peace because we know that God is in charge of the human destiny and will accomplish everything according to his plan. Jesus enjoyed this wonderful peace of heart and mind, and he said to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." This peace of God then is a part of our present inheritance. And of those who are fully devoted to do his will. Oh, there is a time, my brethren, that we may wish to change circumstances in our lives, think that we could serve the Lord better. Even the Apostle Paul reasoned the same way when he said, when he approached the Lord three times with his thorn in the flesh to be removed, the Lord's answer to Paul was very specific, very clear, when he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Oh, how Paul understood well the lesson. As for us, my brethren, sometime a thorn in the flesh which should disturb us could be one or a number of things which our poor judgment would like to change them. It could be some disturbance in our own family, in our own class. A situation of this kind could bring turmoil in our hearts, anxiety and sorrow. Oh, how the flesh will like to change a situation of this kind. Sometime poor health may disturb our peace, our heart and mind. In such a situation, the flesh is quick to say that probably the Lord has forsaken us. The human mind is ever ready to fill the role of Job comforter and convince us that the Lord has turned his back upon us. This is not true. But our answer to this will be similar to the answer that Job gave to the accuser concerning God. He said that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And this is the answer we must always give. In every circumstance of our life, strength will be found and provided by the Lord. This we can be sure. Not confidence in our own ability to face the many problems for which we are at time to time confronted, but confidence that the Lord is able to make his grace abound towards us at all time and in every circumstances. And as new creatures in Christ, we should always remember that our loving Heavenly Father care for us. His protection, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He is a rock and fortress in the inner man, which, because of the bounty of his grace, is being renewed day by day. Then, this being true, it should matter little just how our flesh may react, or what the natural circumstance of a life may be. What it really should concern us is that God is able to hold us in the hollow hands as a new creature, with his love and the love of Christ above us, and nothing can remove us out of his hands. We have another wonderful assurance from God, his angels. I often call them God's secret agent. God's secret agent. As God's angel have watched the drama over this age in this world arena, they have been commissioned by the Almighty God to watch over every individual Christian. They miss nothing as they watch every move that you and I make. They never miss any details of our earthly pilgrimage. This earth may be filled with tears and violence, but we can, by spiritual vision, lift up our eyes, and we will see the angels of the Lord who watch us according to God's infinite wisdom as they prepare our welcome home. It seems that the love of God has such a tremendous influence on the mind of the Apostle Paul, to an extent that he was unable to find suitable words to express his appreciation of God's grace, which was manifest in his life. Notice what he wrote in the letter to the brother in 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is what he says. In God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good works. There is so much meaning in these words that, as has been said, contain spiritual meat in concentrated form. In these words, three great truths are expressed pertaining to our precious relation to God. First, there is the inflow of divine blessing. Second, the possession of these blessings. And third, the outflow of blessings for the benefit of others. It has been said that the operation of a divine grace is well illustrated by a fountain in the square. We that come from Europe, we have lots of those fountains. Usually there is a pipe coming up through the center of the fountain through which the water flows. Empty itself into a basin which is underneath. When the basin is full, the water slowly go over to the edge into a pond beneath. Here we have a beautiful illustration of the grace of God overflowing into us, remaining in us, and outflowing to others. First, there must be the inflow of divine grace. And in connection with this, the Apostle Paul suggests three thoughts. One, the power of God. God is able. Second, the provision of God's divine grace. And third, the prodigality of God. He make all grace in abundance. The power of God. God is able. The human mind is so limited that we have a very poor conception over such a glorious being and his greatness. For of everlasting to everlasting, consider him as a creator in the vastness of his creation. Astronomers often call our attention to the immensity of some of the stars. And we are astonished at the figure which they give us. What a wonderful mind is revealed in the plane of such a mighty world as these. We are now only beginning to learn something of God's greatness as revealed in his creative work. In the little that we be able to understand, we appreciate God's greatness, and we come to understand his character as revealed in his wonderful plan of salvation. Through the plan of salvation, we see ourselves as a living example of the power and love of God. Yes, we were all servants of sin, but now through his love and power, we have been brought to the precious truth. His strong arm of love and the conviction of the ability of a God that should be an encouragement and a peace of mind in our Christian walk. The ability of God is something which we can depend. Do we feel faint? Then let us remember that God, the Almighty One, giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength, that they may wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are we fearful? It is his powerful God who says to us, fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee, I will uphold thee. In the operation of his grace, it is not our weakness that count, but his strength. God makes his grace to abound, in his abounding grace comprehending all his blessing to us, both temporal and spiritual. It is his loving provision for his people. He continued to grieve to give grace upon grace. He revealed us a secret, still secret to the religious world. He revealed us of his loving purpose concerning the church, how he intended through her as a promise to bless all mankind. We could have a part in that seed of which Christ is the head. He opened to us the privilege of this high calling. And now a few questions may arise. Just how many comprise this elect? Shall we take the number 144,000 literally, as recorded in Revelation 7:4? If so, why are they said to have been taken from the 12 tribes of Israel? In answer to this question, we recall Romans 11th chapter, where the grafting in of the Gentile to the original olive tree was for the purpose of election. In this light, those taken from the Gentile, they became Abraham's seed by adoption, and they became a spiritual Israel. And here we have something confirmatory regarding the number 144,000, even in the Old Testament. If you open your Bible to Genesis 15:13, Abraham was told that his seed was to endure persecution for 400 years. Why 400 years? Why stipulate this in this precision? The answer is that it contained a hidden number, the number for the elect. All we have to do is to reduce those 400 years to days, and we will discover 144,000. To reach this, we multiply 400 by 360, for we must remember, keep in mind, that 360 days to the year is the Bible way of form and date. I see Brother Jim is here. That'll tell me something, isn't it?
The villain approaches.
For conclusion, we must make a conclusion, dear brethren. Remember that the truth will not properly benefit us unless we share the truth with someone. But if we share it with others, what we have received is available to us. The value to us will be more deeply impressed, and we will make the blessing reach to ourselves. God's provided the abounding grace for us. We have been blessed by the Lord immensely. We must continue to receive in order to give. And thus to receive, we must be in constant communication with the source of our supply, of the grace and the truth. For the basin of the water to remain full, to overflowing, there must be a continual supply. And ours is a continual supply if we continue to apply for it. Our overflowing is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Let us remember that every act of love shown to the brethren, oh, Jesus is counted as it done to the master himself. Every opportunity we should break our alabaster box and scatter the contents as a token of a loving service. The woman who came to Jesus' tomb were too late with 8 spices. But Mary, with her precious ointment, was not. Why did Mary broke her box? It was in this a full gesture of devotion, and to show her love, that she gave all of its fragrance to her master. And what a generous love he was. And this should be the attitude of every Christian in today's life. The grace of God has abounded in us tremendously. We're so thankful for the truth. Let us make use of it. You know, brethren, sometime we get tangled up in studying the truth, looking book through books, all kinds of detail from books. But sometimes we fail, and we have no time to practice the principle of the truth. And this is very important. Our attention is often drawn to the need of isolated and loving brethren. And there are many of such. We may say to ourselves, the God will provide for them. True. He will provide for them. But it may be that he wished to provide for them for their need through us. And if we are neglecting our privilege in this respect, the Lord will turn to others who will be more willing helpers. And you know what happened to us? And then we become sleeping partner with the Lord. Let us not be a sleeping partner. May the Lord have his blessings.
Once in a while, a talk really hits the bullseye. And one mark of a good talk is it leaves me feeling at least a little guilty. We'll be reconvening promptly at 4:45, and now Brother Joe will close.
Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. It is with the spirit of humility, with reverence, that we come before thee with sincere heart to express our gratitude for the many blessings which thou always graciously bestow upon us. We thank you, Father, for thy love for Jesus our Master, for the truth, for the brethren, for this convention. May the spiritual nourishment provided for us in this hall not only be a blessing to all of us, but also assimilate in our hearts and mind the message of truth that come from thee. Father, bless each heart. And we assemble here in this convention to feast on the spiritual manna that thou has graciously provided for us. And we know that we can best appreciate the blessed privilege of being in thy presence by our determination to fulfill of our consecrations and to let nothing stand in the way of being faithful until the end. Father, help us to appreciate more and more thy grace, thy strength, thy promise, and rely faithfully in all thy promises to us, because we know, Father, thou art a faithful God. Father, we pray that thou bless the remainder of this convention. And once again, Father, we pray for thy kingdom, in the realization of this, the only hope for this world. Be with us, Father, and forgive us for anything amiss. All these blessings and favors, we ask them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.